to see you than the committee I had to sit before Friday about my doctoral project. You're a much friendlier crowd. I want to spend some time talking with you this morning. I feel like we're in need of some context for things. And so I want to emphasize a few things this morning and try to put a frame of reference around it so you can hear afresh in a larger context what we're actually trying to accomplish. As soon as I can get my wife's attention diverted from my best friend's attention, I'm going to ask her to come up here. What did he say? It's the same thing at home. What? Patty is part of the jail ministry that we're collaborating with other churches in town, and she has some testimony from this morning I wanted to share.
It was so exciting. We just had so much fun. Is this on?
No. Yep, it's on.
Sounded like it. Oh, now it is. Ooh, you turned it way up. A while ago, I had purchased these little booklets called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. So I kind of grabbed a bunch of them. Well, I grabbed 10, and we had 11 people. Can you believe that? 11 ladies. So anyway, it was really, really exciting, you know, just kind of emphasizing at the beginning that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes and all that kind of really wonderful stuff. And we just start, you know, talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, I planned it, you know. And these ladies were so hungry. They were just so into it. It was the most exciting, fun time. So we, I think, had about 3 or 4. I don't remember exactly. We laid hands on them. They all had a prayer language in their head that they were too shy to speak out. So we, you know, of course, talked about, you know, doing that at some point in time, how important that is. And the presence of God was just so strong in that room. It was just so exciting. And one of the things that was really interesting is that every lady experienced him differently. One was hot from head to toe. She just felt so hot. One of them, she said she felt so cold on the inside, and she was shaking like this. And she said just she felt chilled on the inside. And can you tell I'm excited? I think I've already told a number of you already as you come in. Guess what happened today? So anyway, it was really neat. Just to feel the presence of the Lord there, you know, these ladies, you know, it was great. And Linda shared her testimony, and that always speaks to them because they can see somebody victorious over what has them bound.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Give the Lord a hand. Now, she looks nice today, doesn't she? Yes, okay. She got all dressed up and went to the jail to represent Jesus. I'm not finished. I want you to come to grips with the concept. You do not get to choose to get dressed up and go to the jail to represent Jesus. The day you are reconciled to God the Father, you represent Him whether you choose to or not. Once the light comes on, the light does not go out. You don't get to choose if you're going to represent Him, because the moment you're reconciled, you are His representative in whatever condition you are presently in. Yes, when you're unshaven, you represent the Lord. And that's a dual gender difficulty I've discovered. On your worst day, you represent the Lord. when you're standing there screaming about the bill the mechanic just handed you because you're sure you're being ripped off, you represent the Lord. Because you do not get to choose when you represent the Lord once you're reconciled to Him. What you do get to choose is how you represent Him. And that's the spiritual maturity challenge. Are we clear? Every day, everywhere, you represent your Father. Now, here's the good news. It doesn't matter what condition you're in, He assigns you to places where your condition is appropriate. How many of you know you're not yet prepared to sit across from the desk of the prime minister of another nation and discuss the kingdom of God with him? Two of you. Four of you. Okay. Next week, I'll share on thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. But there are those who get to sit in that position and say to the prime minister, "Prime Minister, I mean you no respect, sir, but you have demons." Someone has to be prepared over time to sit in that place and speak that message to such a personage, right? But all of you are immediately capable of representing the Lord within the context in which He found you. How many of you were doing drugs when you came to Christ? Come on, let me see them. There's no videotape. Nobody's going to write down your name. How many of you were doing drugs when you came to Christ? Let's see them. There you go. Okay. Immediately, you had a testimony among your fellow glue sniffers who, when they got high enough, would just ask anybody, "Are you God?" And how many of you were recognized as having become different in whatever your context was? You came to Christ and they said, "You're different." What were the rest of you in Sunday school when you got saved? Come on. I'm going to get an answer. I've got nowhere to go before March. I want you to grow in confidence in this, that wherever you are, Bath and Body Works, social services, financial consulting, IT person, wherever you are, God has assigned you there as His representative. You don't have any choice about it because the light is always on. But you control the rheostat. How many of you would like it to shine bright? Oh, that's a good church question. Give me a good church answer. No, really, seriously. Some of us are not as devoted to following Christ as we one day will be. Others of us are farther along that path than we have ever been. I call it being gut hooked. Once that happens to you, there's no escape. In this in this concept of being your Father's representative, two or three verses I want to sling your direction to try to help you appreciate the assignment you've been given. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul makes this revelatory statement in Colossians 1:13. He says this: "He is the image of the invisible God." What's an image? Something you can see? He's the something you can see that represents what you cannot see. He happened to be the firstborn of creation, which means what, Hilton? Firstborn. He is the unique one. So He is the pattern for the unique ones. Is there anything else like you? People who live close to you will tell you there's nobody else like you. Yeah, I know lots of people, and you're like, no. He is the image of the invisible God. Does that word image sound familiar, like you're created in His likeness? And so you are an image of an aspect of the invisible God that He deploys into particular situations to be put on display in that context. How many of you know, and this is a stretch of faith for some of you, but how many of you know that God can actually present himself through a left-brained engineer? I know some. Really. You might be sitting near one. Let me tell you, they're a pain to grow up, but when you get them grown, they get it. God can also present himself through an arts teacher. Really? Really. Because one has the capacity to communicate the logic of the universe. The other sees it through the artistry that is also an expression of their father. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see a sunset from 35,000 feet, but it is spectacular. It's not like driving north on 235. Oh, look, a little pink. Oh, look, there's some orange. No, 35,000 feet, you get it all. In this business of representation, Hebrews 1:3 says that Christ is the radiance. Do you know what radiance is? How many of you have those energy-saving light bulbs, and when you turn them on a cold morning, you think, wait a minute, is this thing broken? And then it heats up, and you get more light. The radiance, okay? I've got one of those little, it looks like a regular light switch, only it's a rheostat. So I can adjust, supposedly in theory, how much lumens are coming from that thing. There is a place for us in our ownership of our representational nature to be concerned about how many lumens we are admitting. Because there are things in our life the Holy Spirit wants to address because they're shading the truth. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, one of the things I do not waste my time with is the, what's that Christian version of the Yellow Pages called? The what? The Shepherd's Guide. I do not waste my time with the Shepherd's Guide. Would you like to know why? I went to some of those people and they had no integrity. You understand what I'm saying? You don't get to say you're a Christian because you came to Christ. Christianity is a worldview that should change your behavior. You shouldn't tell me when you're preparing to give me the estimate on my transmission that has just... it won't work anymore. You shouldn't tell me that one of my options is to back up the odometer so that I'm still under warranty. You shouldn't tell me that. That's not an option. Do you understand? It actually matters how you represent your father in the details. Peggy was sharing with me just a few minutes ago a prophetic image from the watch on Friday night about a peach. How many of you know what peaches are? You ever get close to them? Ever tasted that fuzz? That's the reason I don't eat peaches. I don't want fuzz in my mouth. You know, that's like reaching in your navel and go, ooh, boy, I don't want that either, okay? Yeah, you wish you'd thought of it. I can hear it in your laughter. But did you know that God knows that there's fuzz on that peach and he put it there on purpose because some of y'all like fuzz on your tongue? Okay? He knows the details, not just the macro picture of the orchard of peach trees. And he's interested in the details that attend us. That's why there should be a certain precision to the way you live your life. You know, I try not to walk around my home in a white undershirt with ketchup and mustard stains on it. That's not the image of me I want my wife to have, let alone my guests when they come to the door. This is the point where you go, thank you. Now, all along the way, we have to be concerned with the reality that when they see you, they see your father. Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you do not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, Are you aware it might take a while for the Father to actually be visible through you? It might take an aggregate of time. Svetlana was sharing a testimony with me about a communist who watched her father's life over a long period of time. Reader's Digest version.
Good morning, good morning. I face the same committee, so yeah, it is much nicer to look at your faces this morning. You have smiles on it.
So I grew up in communist Bulgaria, and my dad was a pastor. Under those conditions, you could not pastor without being often called by appointed people from the Communist Party that actually oversaw the religious affairs. So they would call my dad often to their office for my dad to give a report on how the church is going. And some people would consider that to be a traitor type thing, you know. How come? You know, how dare you ask me, and I'm not going to tell them anything. So pastors had to be very wise on what type of information they would give them so they can keep up the movement going at the same time, not jeopardize their licensing, because it was really up to the Communist Party to allow those pastors to continue to pastor. Everything was under their control. There was no pastors in a communist Bulgaria that actually was allowed to pastor without their blessing. So you had to be very wise how to dance that very fine balance. So my dad would meet on a regular basis out of, you know, just because he couldn't say no or he wouldn't pastor. And he had to share things with that political head of religious affairs. And the way my dad fed information to him was to acknowledge the good things that are going on in the church, and the fact that we are not a rebellious type of bunch of people that had come to bring the regime down, but we truly are focused on Christ as a son of God. And so my dad and this man over the years talked on a regular basis, and this man had seen my dad in action of what he was bringing to the table in his heart. He got to know his heart. My dad's amazing surprise was that after the change of regimes and the Berlin Wall, you know, all of those instances, you know, the major monumental milestones that happened in communist countries, as the regime turned and that guy is no longer, you know, a head of religious affairs, he came to dad, because he had the freedom now to say what has been going on in his heart, and told my dad that he is walking towards the faith because of what he has seen that my dad represented to him all the way while he had to suffocate religion in the country. So it is a wonderful experience to know. And his son, actually, in Western Europe, had gotten a hold of a Bible and a hold of a church and brought that to his dad back home. So that man is walking towards knowing Christ.
And that was how many years your dad and he were?
Probably at least 10 to 15.
10 to 15 years of your life being scrutinized by someone who is opposed to everything you represent. But because of the integrity of your life, they are persuaded toward the truth. It does matter how you represent the Lord. And you're capable because you have a personal spirituality. That's a nice contemporary word. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, Paul communicates what we have repeated repeatedly, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, look at this. You have not been given a spirit of fear again to slavery. You have not been given a spirit of slavery again to fear. Slavery to what? How many of you are afraid of being identified by others as a Christian? How many of you are afraid to let those you used to run with know that you're now a believer? How many of you don't speak because you say, I'm not yet ready. I'm not yet qualified. The problem with that thinking is that it's a lie. Because the moment you are reconciled to your Father, He gives to you a spirit of adoption whereby from inside of you, you cry. Okay. How many of you can look at a 2-year-old and identify the parent? Huh? Okay. Or you see someone's 22-year-old son who you've not seen in years. Maybe they were 8 when you last saw them. They're now 22, but you watch their mannerisms. Wait a minute. I know who you are. Because you are like your father. Now, you do get to make a choice about your spirituality. Are you going to cultivate it? Do you experience the presence of God when it's just you and God? Or do you require all of us to be here? Hopefully, one of our sprinklers will hit you. See, when we hand you these devotional books at the communion table, they're designed to help you connect with the Lord. There's lots of tools out there, but we want some of our thinking to be part of your maturation process. How many of you appreciate it when the light comes on and you go, wow, because Hilton just said something that totally illuminated your understanding? Okay? Don't forsake assembling yourselves together as some have. Why? Because any of you been around wood stoves or fireplaces or campfires? You ever seen a fire? Okay. If you take something that's burning out of the flame and set it on the hearth, what happens? It ceases burning. If you put it back in the flame, what happens? See, it's prudent for you to be engaged in that collective gathering of God's people because His bus does stop here. And he will get off and visit for a while. I'd recommend that 4 out of 5 meetings you ought to be in.
What?
Yeah, that's a 20% absentee rate. How's that going to go over with your supervisor? Oh, context is helpful, isn't it? Your personal spirituality, the things that we encourage you to do, like worship, like pray, like go to the Bible expecting God to say something to you, like how to hear God's voice, like the watch of the Lord, like small groups, like connection groups, like altar calls, like prophetic training, like spiritual gifts class, like, why? So that radiance increases. The rheostat comes up because you're closer into the wind of the Spirit, which is the presence of the Lord manifesting through you. Wouldn't it be nice if when you walked into the room, there was a change in the atmosphere? Wouldn't that be nice? Guess what? When you walk into the room, there's a change in the atmosphere because God walks in with you. And you can't tell him,
oh, stay outside, I'll handle this.
Okay? Bad call to start with, but impossible because his Spirit now tabernacles within you. Our challenge is, how willing are we to allow that Spirit to manifest through us so that the person of our Father is put more fully on display? You can't do it in casual engagement. But casual engagement might be the very thing that He hooks you with to draw you closer. Let's suppose you're interested in going closer. What does that mean?
You have to be obedient.
Obedient to
the law of the church.
No. Jesus made a statement that's kind of a template for us. Mark, he said, the Son of Man does not come to be served, but to... Okay. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are an in-house servant of a great house. And you are either the butler, you're the chambermaid, you're one of those clientele. What is your reason for being in that house? To serve. All right, I want you to imagine long day, big celebration that day. Lots of people in the house. You have been busy all day long. You finally get back to your servant's quarters. You have unbuttoned the top two buttons. You flop down in the chair. The hot tea has just come, and your meal is just being set down. And as you reach for your flatware, you hear... What's about to happen to you? You're about to get up, leave your food there to get cold, button your button, and go to your master and find out what he needs. Don't you love that image? If you agree to be a servant, you are always on call. If you agree to serve the Lord, you are always on call. If you agree to serve the Lord, and that's one of the reasons people will not agree to serve the Lord, because they still have a life. I will work the Lord into my life when it is convenient to me, is a statement that communicates you don't understand. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith, I live because Jesus himself is on display through me. How many of you know they didn't read the fine print to us when they told us we could come to Jesus and go to heaven when we die? Nobody told me this stuff, you know. It's a free gift of eternal life. Just come to church so you can hear me preach and pay money so I can get a salary. When you die, you'll go to heaven. They weren't that honest either. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this business of service, how many of you know that when things are inconvenient, that they will actually shape you? Anybody here ever been in the service of the military? Didn't they just cater to your every whim? They were careful to make sure you never missed a holiday with your family. They walked you carefully through the indoctrination period so that you didn't get blisters on your feet and no one ever spoke a harsh word to you. I'm talking about the Australian military. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong continent. Give me a second. There is a discipline that the Spirit of God will demand for those of you who are going to sit across the desk from the Prime Minister or the shop supervisor or your father-in-law. And it comes from a spirit of service. Do you find it easy to receive challenging words from those you know who are actually interested in your welfare, as opposed to those who bring railing accusation against you or try to manipulate you by guilt? Ever been guilt manipulated? With what? Okay. Any of you non-Catholics know what guilt manipulation is? Okay. Now, You can either drive people or you can lead them. I would submit to you that the testimony that Svetlana shared is about leading someone. Okay? What's the old phrase? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him. But you can put salt in his oats. You are salt and light. You know what light sounds like? Pastor, pardon my French. I've heard French. I've heard what he said. It ain't French. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Your presence in the room changes things. Light comes into that darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it, but it does have to deal with it. Okay. And there is a morality in the human being that is an imprint of their father's creative likeness. You have to work very, very hard to develop a reprobate mind to be totally amoral. Because there is a compass in you that's looking for the way home. That's why the New Age and other alternatives to the truth have done so well, because people are hungry for the truth. But sometimes the truth they find in some believers is more bitter than bittersweet, because they've got their finger pointed out there. You be quick to tell them, don't point that thing at me. It's got a nail in it. Now, there's a process that these kinds of things require of us. And I'm going to interview somebody here in a moment. But I want to delve on this service thing for just a little bit more. Here is what Jesus says as the one who points out he is the template. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Listen to this. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. If anyone serves me, he must. And where I am, then if you're following him, where he is, guess where you are? You're where he is. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. If you'll do what I say do for the reasons and motives I say do it with me, the big gun will give you the nod. Maybe it doesn't capture you the way it captures me. But if I can serve the Lord and Father goes thumbs up, you're in good company, folk. At that point, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. The boss just said, you're in. I'm with you in this. This is cool. Keep it up. Need any more resources? If anyone serves me, he must follow me to where I am. And if he'll be faithful in that, Father will get involved with his approval on your process. Now, why in the world would he talk like that? Trying to get you clear in your mind about who it is you're supposed to serve. Not that any of you would remember, but there's a singer that's been around for a long time. He's now in his 70s. His name is Bob Dylan. As he was the rising star, he did not catch my attention because I was still inculcated in country and Western music, and so I didn't understand half the time what he's talking about, and I sure didn't like his style. But decades later, I can appreciate what that one artist did in capturing the mood of this country as it went through one of the most tumultuous upheavals in recent history. And he wrote a song that was very, very popular called You've Got to Serve Somebody. Now, if you say, no, I don't have to serve anybody, Guess who you're serving? Because you've got to serve somebody. The choice you have to make is, who are you going to serve? You've got three choices. Guess who they are? Light, darkness, or dummy? And guess who the dummy is if you ain't serving light? Just a thought. But here's the deal. Angels are crafted to serve. Humans are crafted to love. Consequently, when Jesus is tempted, Satan says, "All these kingdoms I'll give you if you'll serve me." The word in the scripture you read is worship. Worship is an act of service. If you'll serve, see, the devil thinks in terms of service. So now that you're a spiritual orphan, you think in terms of service. What are you trying to service? Your self-promotion, your self-provision, and your self-protection. Jesus comes at that at the root when he says this: no man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other, or he will despise the one and cling to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, word often translated wealth, meaning the object of your worship. Parenthetically, let me interject. Tithing is the most self-serving act you will ever do. Glad you asked. The commitment of an orphan to self-provision is antithetical to a God, to a father-son relationship where your father supplies your resources. So when you tithe, you are declaring to your father, "I'm acknowledging my dependency upon you, and this is my testimony of your ownership of my life. This is the token that I will not live in fear of my provision. This is my statement before God and man that I know who my source is, and I will honor you with my increase just like I honor you with my daily bread." That's your declaration. Now, the thing is, this is one of the early steps. If you haven't mastered the early step yet, you are so far removed from maturity as for us to have to run around changing your diapers, which spiritually Svetlana and I and some of these counselors have to do with some regularity, because you keep telling us how hard it is on your own. Close parenthesis. Let's continue. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Is this making any sense to you? I'm so sorry you said that. Therefore, James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, you understand what I've been saying to you? You want to rethink your commitment to understanding what I just said to you? If you understand what I've been saying to you, therefore, to one who knows to do the right thing and does not do it, to him it is sin. Ouch, my shoes pinch. Keep them on, they'll protect your toes. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I've been in church since I was 2 weeks old. I have been in church leadership from my early 20s. For over 40 years, I have been bent in the direction of serving the Lord. I have been pastoring for 30 years, and I have been leading in this congregation for 34, now that I think about it. I have reached this conclusion. If you want to mature, there are two things you must do. Now, at this point, some of you stop listening because you're not interested in maturing, and I accept that. But you won't always be in that condition. But for those of you who actually want to grow up, there are two things that you must do. The first is assume responsibility for yourself and someone else. Some context of expressing who Christ is in you to others, assuming the responsibility that God has given you, because by one Spirit we have been all baptized into one body. We have been made to drink of one Spirit. That doesn't mean it's been forced upon us. It means we have been crafted to drink from that Spirit and allow that infusion of His revelation to move through us to others. How many of you have ever been remarkably encouraged by the word of another Christian? I mean, it was apples of gold and frames of silver. It was exactly God on display through them to you in the moment of your need. And they may not have even known it. But when you assume the responsibility to represent your Father in the lives of others, there's a grace that begins to flow through you. And the other thing that is necessary is that you serve your responsibility responsibly. That is, you do what God has shown you to do. You engage the process, because when you're accountable for the service that you know you're supposed to deliver, the change begins in you. Does that make sense? Don't you wish you'd stayed home today? I want to introduce you to some people. Pete, stand up. Yeah, that Pete. Do we have any other Petes here? Any other Petes here? Just checking. Yeah, Pete, stand up. Pietrus Luigi. Pete has agreed to assume the responsibility for this house to coordinate your ministries as singers, musicians, dancers, artists, the devotional life of our congregation. He oversees the development of the watches and encourages the spiritual atmosphere that produces prophetic ministry and healing ministry and other expressions of the manifestation of the Spirit. This is the guy who is looking over us. And if any of the things I just said interest you, this is the guy you need to present yourself to and say, you know, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I'd sure like to be on a worship team. Expect him to be gracious in his refusal. You won't feel like you've been put down, but you're not going to get up there. But if he finds out that you are this person who absolutely digitizes sound in such a way that even Jesus doesn't realize it's not him talking, he's going to put you in the sound room, because audiovisual and creative arts is part of what falls under his category of ministry. And if that grace is yours, it is not yours, it is ours. Quit sitting on it. Give me my grace. Give it back. Thank you, Pete. Peggy. Probably. Now, Peggy is the one who's agreed to assume the inconvenience in her life of caring for you. Crisis prayer, healing hearts prayer, compassionate care, hospitality, integration into the body here. These things, small groups, these things fall under her purview. Now, some of you actually care about people. How many of you know that you personally care about people? Okay. Now, among you, there are some of you who, when they are in distress, you feel compelled to do something. Coordinate your do something through her.
Okay? Because you're probably a compassionate person with a shepherd's grace that needs to be developed, but nobody's ever taken the time to show you why you are like that. She will help you do that. Because you're holding something that belongs to us. It is ours. God gave it to you as a trust for us. So get off the trust and get in the game. Talk to this woman. Find out, I know the Lord has been talking to me about this and I've been putting it off. My pastor said something today, if I don't do it, it's sin, and so I'm here. Do it. Do it. Thank you, Peggy. Brandon. Brandon Nickish. Pop tall, Marine. See what I have to put up with. You see? Now, Brandon oversees the development of ministries and discipleship. That means from the cradle to the grave, this is the guy who's interested in your development. Some of you,
I teach children all week long. I don't want to have to teach children when I come to church. I'm son.
Shut up, you're whining. There's a reason God made you a teacher, and it wasn't for a paycheck. You can't help yourself. You're bent that way. But what you don't know is how to connect with the Holy Spirit so that teaching makes the lights come on in little lives, makes the geriatric finally understand what God's been saying to them for 65 or 80 years. Because each person has the potential to keep developing right up until the last breath. And throughout that development, we need someone who's paying attention to the curriculum, somebody who's encouraging us, somebody who is saying to the teacher, I see in you a grace, and call it forth. Call to see you in such a way that you've never seen yourself, and to bring that thing forth so you stand up in your grace, and on the day you stand before the Lord, you can give a good account of the gift He gave you and the way you administrated it. This is your guy. Thank you, Brent. Scooter Pie, you can just stay seated, honey. Just lay that little cast right back up there. Don't you just want to tickle these toes? Now, Alexia has agreed to take on the responsibility of keeping us focused on the issue of public relations, missions, community outreach, and the development of our ability to tell our story about our journey in Christ in such a way it's not condemning, it's not condescending, it's the reality of, this is what God has meant in my life. Okay? This falls under her purview. But guess what? If you know how to operate a computer, if you know how to do some of that fancy stuff that creates pictures and organizational charts and what?
Graphic arts.
There's a word for it. It's graphic arts. We need that. Why? Because public relations is not just how well you conduct yourself at Ruby Tuesdays when you don't stiff the waitress.
I hate working Sundays. Christians come in, they're lousy tippers.
Oh, that reflects well on the spirit of generosity of your father, doesn't it? If you ain't giving 20%, repent. Let's have an altar call. If you're stiffing the waitress. Listen. You have a spirit of generosity in you. Demonstrate to your father that you're trustworthy with resources and he will release them through your hand. It's not the right attitude. Releasing it is the right attitude. Because public relations is also that sign out there. It's about the reputation of this house in this community. I want this place to be known as a place where people are welcome and can find the reality of God here. Okay? But I also want those people who are in this house to be able to walk out there, like the Park Hall invitation. Come over into Macedonia and help us. They said, come over. And you went. Now, somewhere along the way, I'm going to ask for testimonies from those of you who went, because what you found is not what you expected. Right? Any of y'all here actually involved? Did you find what you expected? You newcomers. Did you find what you expected?
I found something unexpected.
Something unexpected, And I'm not talking about Never mind, let's don't go there. We have an interesting season unfolding around us. It's a chance for you to experiment with the grace of God in your life. I have tried to create an atmosphere in this house where it's okay for you to mess it up. Has that come across? Okay. Okay. Because you're not going to start perfect, but you need to start. And if we have to hold your little hands and take those little steps, one day you'll be holding my finger. Next day you'll be standing like Jay was in front of a class recently. He said, you know, it was just 6 years ago. Pastor was telling me, now here's how you stand. Stretch out your hand like this. These are the words you say. And 6 years later, he's standing in front of the class saying that. You follow me? Okay. I have good news. I'm done. Now, Peggy, Pete, Brandon, Scooter, you just stay right where you are, baby. If you know this morning that you've been sitting on your grace and the Lord has been pinging on you to release that grace in and through this house, I want you to come to get up here, boys. Come on. I had said Scooter could stay seated. Peggy, come on. The altar call this morning is for you to present yourself as one who is willing to serve, willing to be responsible in that service, willing to continue to engage the development of your spirit, willing to assume the responsibility to represent your Father with intentionality. Please stand. Now, we're going to release y'all in a moment. You're going to go grab some coffee and junk, and then the oh, that's right. Forget it. You're going to go downstairs and pay way too much money for the food so these kids can go to Acquire the Fire. But it's still early in the year. There's still plenty of time for you to engage what God has ordained for you. So I want you to pause in this moment and ask, Lord, are you asking me today to step it up a notch with you? We don't know when you're coming, Lord, but we know we're coming to you. And until that moment when we're in your presence, there's the possibility that you could shine through us in such a way. We are the epistles on display. Others see you because of who you are in and through us. We're trying, Lord. We really are trying. But I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to move us forward more intentionally. I'm asking you to awaken right now the sense of ownership to our representation of you, the development of our spirituality, the willingness to suffer the inconvenience of service and to be responsible in that commitment. I invite these hearts that are open to you, Lord, to make their declaration afresh today and to identify those who will help them move forward in that particular grace that is uniquely from you through their lives to us. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to make this happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, come to the altar or go to the food table. Now, that's a decision right there.